Hello everyone, welcome back to the podcast, here again to make your weekends better. Now again, we are having a bunch of topics that you love for me to discuss and have an opinion about, and your opinion goes down in the comment section if you are on YouTube. If you're not, maybe the platform gives you some options. For example, Anchor gives you an option to send voice messages. Instagram gives you that option of sending DMs. Facebook gives some option of sending messages. Your mailman gives you an option to send me a mail via post. It depends on you. How do you like to share your thoughts? But trust me, if the topic is good enough, which you want to be discussed on this podcast, it will be considered and will be discussed. So, for today's, we are going to talk about what are the differences in career in between India and foreign. When I say foreign, it is everything which is not India. So I'm going to get from Europe to United States of America to goddamn Thailand, anything that I know anything about, and see what are the differences, because there are huge differences in the market which are influenced because of the geography, because of the population, because of the history. And we are going to get into it deep. Next, our suggested topic is talk about David Goggins. Now, there are a few things that you should pay attention towards and a few things that people are not talking about. What makes that man so successful, which I'm going to put some time into. Maybe you have not observed that, and maybe you would like to incorporate a few of those things in your own life. And that does not include running and shooting yourself and posting it on Instagram. That is an obvious one. I'm pretty sure at least 1,000 people tried that to become famous. None of that worked, because as the great man Marshall Mathers once say, they all walk like that, talk like that, something like that. They're all going to be the next best thing, but not David Goggins. Okay. And next one, we are going to talk a little bit, if we get some time, about the mentality. As you know, I love to talk about mentality. And maybe we are going to get into it. Now, there are a few sequences to the podcast that I would like to add. And about those things, I'm going to have a discussion at the end of the podcast. And speaking of the end of the podcast, I'm also going to talk about how I got some new, fresh stitches. Now, a few episodes back, I've also talked about how I chipped my tooth. Started the podcast like that. I'm not going to start another one with something that I lost. So it's going to be talked about at the end. Now let's get into career in India versus career in foreign. Now the thing about India is population, okay? And that changes everything. The competition that you see in India is not heard of anywhere outside India. I do not know about China, I would imagine, but India is so populated and the population is so young. The average age of India is my age, that is 28 years old. So the young generation see competition that is unheard of. And that starts from whether you want to get a job in Indian Railways and appear for engineering services exam, to you wanting to start a shop that is going to sell cell phones. And the next day, there's a competition, 5 of them around you, and you're competing with them, trying to reduce the cost, trying to increase some extra feature. Maybe you're going to give an extra cover or AirPods or something so that you somehow sustain in the market. That is not something which is extremely common all across the world. Also, the way it is working, India is a new country, and still a lot of giant organizations are government-based organizations. And one thing that is again causing a problem is the education system and the quality of engineers that are being produced, or quality of any sort of graduate that are being produced. And also, the boom of internet has created a mixture in this country that is again something that has never been seen before, and it is something to be paid attention towards. I think the rest of the world should study of what is happening in India right now. But finally, coming to what would career be like in India and what would career be like in any other place in the world. And when I say any other place, I'm not talking about a place that you have never heard of, okay? We generally talk about United States of America, maybe Germany, Canada, Australia, wherever you would prefer to work. Now, I'll start with an example. Now, one of my friends used to be my batchmate back when I was in undergraduation. He graduated in the same year as me, 2016. Now, he graduates without a job, any campus placement, same as me. That is extremely common, especially in any institute which is not an NIT or an IIT. So he graduates, starts looking for a job, prepares for competitive examination like GATE Engineering Services, starts learning few languages so that he gets an admission to some college in Europe or some college in United States of America or Canada or anywhere to get his further education, trying everything. He learned German. I think he learned a little bit of French as well. He did all of this trying to get some job in India or trying to get some education abroad for 4 years until finally he got selected in a university in Canada. So this guy, who's a decent student, he's like somewhere around 8 CGPA, graduates from an okay university with a degree in mechanical engineering, stays unemployed for 4 years in India, goes to Canada, does a master's in mechanical engineering and gets a job in Canada, and right now is working over there for the past 2 years or so, has a stable career. So that is the extent of unemployment in India, and that is real. This is a real story, and this is just one of thousands of others. It is extremely difficult to find job in India, and the same person goes to another country and finds an easier time getting a job. Now, can you go to another country, do a master's over there, and still find yourself unemployed? Possible, obviously. But the competition in India is ruthless. And also, one thing that I've seen about India is that there's a huge problem with ear gap. So let us say in America, it's perfectly normal for a 35-year-old man to apply for a fresh job in the field of engineering. But it is not going to be accepted in India. All of them are going to look for job experiences, something or the other, and they are going to look for what you have been doing. So in India, it is difficult to switch paths. In other countries, it is easier. Also in other countries, it is easier if you have an education over there to fabricate your own unique path, because the way Indian education system works in engineering colleges is kind of freaky, because what we do is all of us in this particular batch are going to study the same 5 to 6 subjects for a semester. There's absolutely no choice. You do not pick your courses. First of all, you pick too much. 5 subjects is too much for a semester to understand any of them properly. And then all of them are selecting the same subjects. And basically, if they say that 2 people from mechanical engineering, they studied the same basic subjects a lot of times, these subjects are not that much evolved according to the current industrial standards. And that is why we all the time see mechanical engineers, civil engineers, or electrical engineers are having a tough time getting job. Partially, it is because India does not have that good of a product-based industry. India does not create a lot of products. That is why you find a lot easier time getting a job in IT, because a lot of jobs is service based. And the second problem is that in core fields, they have not updated according to the current industrial standards. But if you want to talk about career difference in between India and foreign, the competition is going to be the biggest thing. The position of industries right now in India is going to be something that you will be considering. And the quality of education that you're going to get is also something that you need to consider. Now, these are all limitations of a career in India. The positives of having a career in India is, number one, you do not need to worry about your visa. You are a citizen over here, so you do not need to worry. You can do anything You can start a business side by side as well. You can work for two different companies. It's not a problem. But if you go for any other country other than the country that you were born in, you'll have to wait for a long time for you to get a very stable visa. And in a lot of cases, people who start their career in some other country, let us say in US, mostly they are working for the next generation. Their kids are going to have a great time, but they are going to have a great long struggle, which is fine. Some people want to struggle in that direction. And then again, it's your choice. But I'm giving you examples and reasons in both the cases. And then again, if you are a very family-oriented person or you are a very community-oriented person, you want to stay in a place which you like or in a place where you grew up. So it depends from a person to person as well. And again, one thing that has to be considered, which is again limitation when it comes to a career in India, is that the pay is going to be lesser. Now you will say that the expenditure is going to be lesser as well. And then I'll say the quality of living is going to be a little bit lower as well. So it is a give and take, and it perfectly depends on a person. I 100% understand a person who has the sole aim of leaving India as soon as possible and settling somewhere else, let's say Canada, Australia, or any other place. And I perfectly understand those people as well who say that, no, I'm going to stick with India. People do not understand where India is going. It's a developing country. It is seeing its boom. It's seeing its boom in the IT sector. Other countries are starting to invest over here. India is the next biggest market. I'm going to stick with it. So I understand both sides of it. And these are the things that I think about a career in India and a career in foreign. Okay. If you have more suggestions, opinions, or questions, goes down in the comment section or goes down in my mailbox. Send me a mail. Send me a physical mail. I'm waiting for it. Next, I want to talk about this man, David Goggins, because this is amongst all the social media influencers, this man stands out. Because this is one of those who does not even give a lot of presence in social media. He's like publishes one book and then he's gone for 3 years. He comes back, does one podcast, then he's gone. I think he has done 4 podcasts in total. 3 times he was in Joe Rogan once recently, and he was with Chris Williams recently. And that's it. Maybe 1 or 2 more and that's it. So most of the time he is doing stuff. He was in SEALs. He was in Air Force. He is right now doing smoke jumping or something. I do not know. Crazy stuff. Something that you would never do if you are having financial security that this man has. But he does stuff. And what is to be admired about David Goggins is that he does not need to do it, but he does that. He is not that much present in social media. The 10 appearances that he has given has been made into thousands and thousands of reels and shots, and people go through it. But at the end of the day, he's not over there talking to you on YouTube every next week. He's doing stuff. And what Andrew Tate did intentionally, it is happening with David Goggins unintentionally. That is, other people are creating content or advertisement or promotion for him. Coincidentally, both are bald. Both look pretty much similar as well. So, first of all, step one, lose your hair. But that is how they're popular. But the thing about David Goggins, which is different from Andrew Tate, is that Andrew Tate has a strategy of how he's going to become popular, how he's going to become well-known. When it comes to David Goggins, it doesn't even look like he wants to be famous. He just does his stuff. And it's so effortless that people love it, because that is very difficult to find. Like, even I'm putting more effort than David Goggins right now, because I'm publishing podcast every next week. And that's when you're trying too hard. And when it comes to David Goggins, he's like really a minimalist. He does not need your money. He does not need the fame. He does not get the ego boost when you look for an autograph, when you spot him on the streets. By the way, you have to wake super early to spot him on the streets. So that's what makes him something that you cannot bring a single other person who is like him, that he does not want the fame, he does not want millions and millions of dollars, but he's getting all of that. You have to pay attention towards what this man is doing, and there's utmost amount of respect for him, because he's one of the very few who is really creating a change for them who are kicked down by life, for them who have gotten a terrible set of cards at their hand, for them who are right now with nothing. And what he stands for most is that I did it, so you can do it as well, and there's no more complaining. So shut the fuck up and start doing work. It's as simple as that. And that is dangerous and threatening to a lot of people who do not want to put in work. It's easy to talk and say destiny and say that I was given a false set of cards. But have you ever listened to his story? I'm not going to get into it. But the situation that he came from, very few people can say that I had a worse background. I had a worse, like worse that most of you guys can say is a girl who did not pay attention towards you. That's the biggest pain of your life. When you listen to people who come out from situations like that, they just slash and cut the throat of your excuses right there with their journey. So you cannot be crying and saying that I got a terrible set of cards and life did not treat me well. Now, that's just what I think about him as a person. But what me and you can both learn from him is that he is a fantastic speaker. There are, all again, very few people that you can say is a better speaker than David Goggins. This guy speaks live on a podcast in a way you would talk if you have rehearsed a talk multiple times. Maybe he has rehearsed as well. I doubt it though. It's a 3-hour podcast. I don't think it is possible. And that's what you gotta love about podcasts, that you cannot fake it on a podcast. There's going to be a host, there's going to be a set of questions, and it's not going to be a 20-minute interview which you can prepare for. Sooner or later, the truth is going to come out. So I'm going to play few of his interview segments, and I'm going to pick any random one and show it to you how good a speaker he is, because I know that I do not need to go to a particular segment or particular thing he said to prove that he's a fantastic speaker. There's none better than him. Like, even political leaders are not as good a speaker as what he is. And the weirdest part is that he was an introvert. Now, he says it himself that I was an introvert. Even being in this podcast is painful for me. And I agree. See, when you're terrible at something and you decide to make a change and say that I'm going to be good at it now, that's when, if you become good at it, there's no stopping you, because you came from scratch. You built your path so far. Now you know how to go further because you came so far on your own. And so you are going to be as good as you want to be. So I have picked the podcast of David Goggins with Chris Williamson. Sorry, I misspelled or misnamed his last name last time. Because this is the only one, I think, which is available on YouTube. No, GRD is also available on YouTube. Okay. So what I'm going to do is go for the GRD one because it was 4 years ago. And even at that point, he was a brilliant speaker. Now, there are two types of speakers. Speakers who are like political speakers, who are there with an agenda. They are going to rile up the crowd. But all of it is systematic science, that they know what the audience is going to love. And they know the way they should be talking. For example, if you look at Barack Obama, he's talking great. He's a great speaker again. If you look at Shashi Tharoor, he's talking great as well. But those are like political speakers. That's what they are. They're politicians by profession. The way David Goggins talks is what you can call him as an emotional speaker. He speaks by heart. and he speaks the emotions. He always speaks the things that, he always talks about the things that he's experienced in. So I want you to just listen to this particular segment, which I also do not know what it is. But I'm going to point out why you love David Goggins so much. And it's not because he was in SEALs. It is not because he is running ultra marathons. It is not because he was in Air Force. It's not because of the beautiful book that he has written. It's mainly because the way he talks. There can be a body double of this man who has done exactly the same things that he has done and does not talk like him, and you will not love him as much. Matter of fact, don't you think there are more accomplished people? Of course there is. Like, Jocko Willings will be equally, if not more, accomplished than him. But you would love to listen to David Goggins more. All right? So, here we go. Also, I'm not saying Jocko Willings is not a fantastic speaker. Someday I'm going to break him down as well as a speaker. Not like break him down. He's probably going to break me down. So, as a speaker, I'll try to decipher his way of speaking as well. Comment it down in the comment section who you want to be deciphered as well. Here we go.
And I struggled my whole life, but I ran from it. So I started realizing, man, I got to start facing the struggle, and I got to be mentally strong for the struggle. So that's where I started coming up with, like, I'm training for life. Mentally, I'm training for life. I'm not training for, like, to lift 400 pounds.
The number one thing that you need to notice over here is that there are no connectors. Listen to this part again. Like I said, I just randomly picked this part, but I know that he's a great speaker. Listen to it again.
Mentally, I'm training for life. I'm not training for, like,
See, I'm not training for, like, he was thinking about what he should say next. But most of what you guys are going to do is, I was training for, and just filling in the gaps that you are so uncomfortable with. But he will take those pauses.
400 pounds. And I found out on my own, pretty much, is that through this, through discipline, through self-discipline, through repetition, through tons of repetition, the same thing that you don't want to do, and that's the key thing. Through repetition of things you don't want to do, you develop mental, like an armor for your mind.
See, he is good at using gaps as well. He's going to create those suspense. Now, I've talked about this in other speaking before, but I'm going to give you a brief idea. What gaps does is that it's two birds, one stone. So if a person is taking voluntary gaps, like not those gaps that you take just because you do not know what to say next. I know exactly what I'm going to say next, but I'm going to take those gaps. Now, what that does is two. Number one, it creates a suspense, because I'm going to place that gap exactly before something impactful. And the second thing is that my audience, you better grasp everything that I said before that, so that that impact is even better. Gaps are great because of just those two reasons. And this shift of where you place a gap changes everything. Sometimes you may place the gaps in between the words for no reason, just because you are thinking of what you need to say next or what word you should be using. You just change the position of the gap and everything changes. All of a sudden, you start to look like a professional speaker, sound like a professional speaker, instead of an amateur speaker that you were sounding like when you are using the gaps in the wrong places.
To armor your mind, your mind's like, okay, we suffer every day.
See, he's going to take a gap after that, because he just said something impactful.
For your mind. Start to armor your mind. Your mind's like, okay, we suffer every day. That's what we do.
That's what he wanted to say. Simple lines. He's confident about that. He's going to use... Think about what if he says like this. We suffer every day. That's what we do. But there's no impact in that, right? So he's going to use gaps in those positions. There's no which is going to make you seem like underconfident, even if you're not. The same man who is just as accomplished as he is right now starts using connectors, he's going to be 50% less confident in appearance. That is why you love David Goggins, because of the way he talks.
We do stuff that sucks every day, so then when the suck stuff comes,
See, that's what I'm saying. When the suck stuff comes, I'm not going to say what I'm going to say right away. Hey, dude, start listening to me carefully because something big is coming.
You're ready for it. And that's how I started coming up. You know, I just started being very uncomfortable. Now it's like just a way of life.
Got it. So that's what I'm talking about. You can be great in what you do, but if you're not a good speaker, nobody is listening. At least nobody is listening with that much amount of attention. And that's what a lot of you guys are missing out on, because you are not paying attention towards the way that you're speaking, or you're not working voluntarily to become a better speaker. You have to take that seriously. Even if you're just looking for a job, what do you think your employers look for? Your employers look for your confidence. If you are confident, that means, even if it is not, at least that appears that you are well-rounded, you are well-educated, you are knowledgeable, you know what you're doing. And then on the contrary, let us say you know everything, you're very knowledgeable, and then, underconfident. Who's going to trust you? Maybe you're underconfident because you don't know much. See, your interviewers are humans as well. They're just going to judge on the basis of appearance. And that's the way I was able to outperform so many people much more knowledgeable than me. Do you think that I was the fourth best mechanical engineer in 2018 to appear in Indian Space Research Organization? Of course not. There were at least 100 better than me. It's just that in the interview room, I was able to be more confident, or at least appear more confident. You have to start taking it seriously, guys. And if you say, Ashish, what do I need to do? Well, if you want to do it free, start recording yourself every day in front of mirror for 20 minutes. Listen to what you have recorded and work on the connectors voluntarily. Eliminate that and speak every day so that you get the confidence and the fluency to the point where you are choosing where you're placing the gap. If you need more information or help, go for Art of Speaking. I'll leave the link down in the description box. But start working on it. In any case, this is the most important thing for whatever you're doing, man. You can right now be trying to become a scientist, or right now trying to become an actor. You are going to negotiate your position in any case with your voice. That's it. That's it. All right. Now, a little bit coming back to David Goggins, I wanted to discuss a few more things. Another thing why you love David Goggins is that he's not only just qualified, but he is growing himself every day as well. He wants to become better right in front of you. That's the best example, right? I'm going to show you how I did what I did, but also I'm going to show you what I'm doing right now. So, another important part about David Goggins is the transformation. See, a very small fraction of us are where we want to be. Almost all of us want to change. We want to become better. We want something in our life to change. And David Goggins, through his life, has shown a massive transformation. And that's something that is not just attractive, but if you were able to change your life, you know that is the most difficult thing in this world to do. To change yourself, god damn, you have so much inertia within you. Don't you just decide someday that I'm going to quit smoking, but then again find yourself smoking 2 weeks later? Don't you say that, oh, from now on I'm not going to waste my time watching these stupid reality shows, and then again find yourself doing the same? Don't you say that from now on I'm going to keep on going to the gym every day until I am half the weight that I am right now, and 10 days later you find yourself eating Cheetos again? It is so difficult to change. Every now and then the world wants you to be where you are, and that inertia, it is extremely difficult to break. The reason why you love him is because he has transformed and knows that it is possible and knows how it is supposed to be done, and that you see in his eyes. And because of that, you listen to him, and you should listen to him for sure. Okay, now that's majority of what I wanted to discuss in this podcast. I am going to get into my Stitches funny story. but I'm going to take a tiny water break. All right, so the break got a little bit longer than I had originally planned. Okay, let's get into the funny story now. Those of you guys who checked my third vlog, yeah, the most recent vlog, there was an idea that I've discussed that you can learn any skill. And visually, the example that I've used is me learning how to ride a skateboard. And I'm 28 years old, and most people over here grew up with skateboard, and I'm not using that as an excuse. But I did underestimate my skills, I mean overestimate my skills with a skateboard. And you know, as an engineer, I've always believed that where you're going to have the most catastrophic failure is what you never expected in your wildest dreams. So similar things happened with me when I was riding a new skateboard. So I had spent around 3 months riding on a $30 skateboard, and I thought that it's time to level up. So I bought a new one, which costed me somewhere around $130 or so. It's great. It's smooth. The wheels are so good. What I did not realize about it when I bought it were two. First things first, the old skateboard and the new skateboard both have the exact same signature, the exact same dimension. So I bought it in a similar manner, just the exact same skateboard. The new one is just better, so I'll not have any problem maneuvering it. But what I found out were two things. Number one, the bearing was way too smoother, and that you would think is a good thing. But when you're riding it downhill, the velocity of your board can go 2 times to 3 times because the same acceleration will be increasing the speed, or the acceleration would be faster because the resistance is lower, a little bit of technicalities. So the board started to go way too fast. The second thing is that I had not tuned the trucks. So by the way, what I was doing is what they call bombing a hill. That means you're going straight downhill. And if you look at that path, it's a 90 degree turn, but not like a complete 90 degree turn. It has a perimeter, so it's a curvature 90 degree turn. But when you're going, you won't be able to see all the way on the second side after you would be orthogonal to where you were when you started. So I used to go down this hill all the time with my older skateboard. With the newer skateboard, number one, the speed was higher. And number two, I found out about it while I needed to take that turn was that I had not tuned my skateboard. And if you do not know, the bottom part where the wheels are there is carried by what we call a truck. So if you loosen the truck, you can steer the skateboard more. If you tighten the trucks, it is more sturdy, it is better for tricks, but lesser maneuverable. So my trucks, the new ones, I had not tuned it. And when I tried to turn the same way that I would do with my old skateboard, it did not turn. To make it worse, at that double velocity, when I cannot turn, it had rained the last night. And where my wheels went, where it usually will not go, was all muddied up. And I slipped straight up and fell on my chin. The moment I fell, I felt a lack of control like never before. You would imagine that if you had any control, the one part that you would protect is your head. I had no control. It went straight to the concrete and straight on my chin. And the second part that went on the concrete was my left knee. So when I got up, the first question in my head, I knew that there's a gigantic cut on my chin. There's absolutely no doubt because I fell on a concrete on my chin. But my first question was, are my knees broken now? Because I had never seen that velocity. Forget about falling at that velocity. and slipping and falling at that velocity. And by the way, another problem was, which was kind of the most major reason of why I fell, was there was a person right there because of which I had to take a bigger turn, which made it all worse. And I could not see that person earlier because, like I said, it was kind of a 90 degree turn and you cannot see who are over there. It's the worst hill to bomb on with the new skateboard on a day when it has rained last night. So my first question is, are my knees broken now? So I stood on it. I was still able to walk. Next, I placed my hand on my chin. I looked at it. It was blood I had never seen before. All my palm was blood. There was blood like dripping down my chin. Again, something that I had never seen before. I knew that this one is big. The least that I'm going to need are a few stitches. And I do not know what else is damaged that I'm not even aware of. Few other things that were hurt was, number one, my left palm majorly, and then my right palm. The reason why I'm telling you these things is because in a very heroic fashion, I showed you how I learned skateboard in 3 months. You need to know how dangerous it is as well, or how dangerous anything like this can be. Same goes with learning a motorcycle, same goes with stuff like this. And also, like, it was a learning experience for me and a fun story to tell you now that I have come to the other side with barely a scratch. Honestly, I should have lost much more, but thankfully, I think, I don't even believe in God, but I kind of have a feeling that God loves me. So the next was major was my left palm. The second after that would be my right palm. And then my whole like torso region from the left part to the right part kind of got crunched. So all of these things I started to discover as 4 hours passed by, 5 hours passed by the next morning. It was brutal. I will need to change the battery for a moment because it's almost gone. So I do not want to stop at that particular moment. So let me take a cut. So I got up. Blood on my hand, the knees are already starting to hurt, and the first thing that I did is sat on a pavement and threw some water, same bottle. If you can look at it carefully, there are scratches on this bottle as well because it was placed on the outer side of my back, and I was wearing a bag as well on my back. So I threw some water, pulled my leg, my pants up, I threw some water on my knees as well. At least keep the dirt out. And I was going to a Starbucks. I was just 2 minutes away from a Starbucks. So I might as well go over there. My plan was that I'm going to go to the restroom and freaking lock myself in and use all the tissue paper that is available in that restroom to soak up all the blood that I can. And I walked into the restroom, locked myself up. And tissue paper after tissue paper, it does not stop. It does not stop. There's a gash in your chin. What are you going to do? So I threw a few, and then luckily I had a band-aid with me, just one, and some cotton. So I placed that, placed the band-aid. It's going to hold it in for some time. It's pretty sure I'm going to need stitches. And then I called my friend and then decided to just go to the closest hospital. And it was Martin Luther King's Day. In America, that's a holiday. And I did not know how seriously they used to take. There were a few places that were open. And it took me some time to just get to that place. There were a few very kind people who gave me a ride. I actually stuck with me over there till I got everything done. And there was a long procedure of getting things done because you need to show your insurance and all. And I'm like, I never used anything like that before. So it took a long process. And finally, after 1.5 hours of waiting of my chin split open with just a band-aid on top of that, it was painful, obviously. And when I finally met doctor, I mean, you know you are going to get stitches, but you secretly hope that you don't. So you are going to ask that dumb question. Like, doctor, am I going to get stitches? And he's like, let me take a look. And this is like after two nurses took a look. So every time I would like open the bandit, so it was from bottom to top. So I would open the top half of the bandit to show them, like they want to see the injury because they're going to write a few things to the doctor. I'll show it. And they're like, oh my God, please close it. And I would like close it again. It was that bad. And then the finally the doctor sees it and like he's like, yep, you're going to need stitches. And I asked him, like, are you going to use one of those that gets dissolved so that I don't have to come back over here to get it off? And he's like, short answer is no. I later found out that they are only going to use the ones that dissolve for internal wounds. Like if you're getting a surgery for your pancreas and stuff, they're going to use the one that gets dissolved. And he just basically took a plastic wire. It just looks like a nylon wire and stitched myself. And I'm like, one, and then one more, and then one more, and then finally one more. He gave me four stitches, and he could have been, he could have gone to five, and nobody would have blamed him, because there was still some part which was open. And the first time I looked at my chin after it was all done, it reminded me of those cartoons, which were made in the time of like for an episode of Halloween to show those stitches, right? Like, yep, I look exactly like that. I wish I had this like 5 months ago. I would have gone to Halloween like this. And he gives like something like anesthetic so that he can stitch my chin properly. And that is like, he will give one kind of, it will be like an injection. So it will numb this part. And then that chemical starts to spread. And it will numb the closer part. Then he will give some more over there, which will spread over there. And pretty soon the chin, you cannot feel anything. But still, when he's putting stitches, you will feel something. And you'll feel a lot more as the effect of anesthesia goes away. And you will feel the maximum after 1 to 2 hours of it done, because there's literally a nylon wire within your skin. Now, those who have had stitches can really relate to me. Those who have not had, I hope you never get that. And I hope you ride safely, or whatever you are riding. The funny part is that the day that I bought that skateboard, there was a sticker by California government which said that skateboarding is a dangerous hobby or something, dangerous activity, and you might die because of that. It was written, and I was like sitting with Coleman, and I peeled it off like, what is this bullshit? I threw it away, but it completely made sense. See, I got away with a lot less than I should have. I full blown down the hill in a turn when the trucks are not loose enough. You slip on mud and you fall on your chin. What are you talking about? Like, I could have woken up or gotten my feet with my jaws not moving anymore, because it can easily break because of that impact. And I've had experience with boxing. I've sparred, and that is why I know what it is like to get punched in the jaw. And it felt exactly like every time I had got punched, but a lot worse. Dude, I have sparred with people like Gagan. Have you seen Gagan? Have you seen Gagan with me? And what is the difference in size? It's like kind of twice my weight. And I've been punched with people like those full blown. And it always used to hurt the next morning. But this was crazy. I was like 1 inch away from my jaw breaking. And once your jaw breaks, you can't eat anything. Everything is now going to be sipped. I speak on a regular basis to podcast in front of you guys. If I don't have jaw, dude, it's crazy what I got away with. Thinking now how stupid I was every time I go down that hill. Like, oh my God, with a new board which goes twice the velocity, one day after it has rained so bad, and you have not tuned the trucks, you have not tested it enough. Oh my God. I could have gotten up with my wrist not working anymore. I could have broken anything. Anything could have been broken and nobody would have been surprised. Oh, you fell on your chin at that velocity. But I was super lucky. And I was lucky. That is the reason I'm talking about this on this podcast. And you guys be careful with whatever you do, because the things that hurt you the most are going to be the things that you expect the least. Nobody expects to meet an accident. That's what I found out that day when I got to a hospital. Like, nobody expect to go to a hospital. So if you ask, like, Ashish, have you quit on skateboard? No, but I'm a lot more careful now. I am thinking twice before going down the hill. If the velocity is too much, I immediately go for a brake. That's another thing. I never actually learned properly how to brake on a skateboard. Now I'm learning how to brake properly. So the things that you expect the least are the things that are going to hurt you. So think about everything. I mean, now I'm much older. I'm 28. But back when I was 18, 19, I recently learned how to drive a car. And I used to ride that car like an idiot, man. Full velocity in narrow pathways. God forbid someone would have gotten hurt. I would have gotten hurt. There's no turning back from a lot of moments. You need to be more careful about these things, more responsible. It can change your life. Like, another thing that I was thinking when I got a cut in the chin, it was all blood, is that did I get a permanent scar on my cheek on the left side? Not that it will make me any less handsome, because I'm already too much. But that's life changing. That's life changing. And for what? For you not thinking properly. So that's the thing that I always knew about skateboards, that you are going to get the worst injury when you're getting more comfortable with it, or when you're getting good with it. Because when you're getting good with it, you'll start to go at higher velocities. And that's where the major accidents happen. 2 days ago, I was on a cab, and my cab driver, the moment I got in with my skateboard, he said that, please keep the grip tape away from the seat. I said, sure thing, sir. And he started talking about, like, I'm a big time skateboarder, I love it, I still do it. He's like 40 to 50 years old. I said that, hey, just 2 weeks ago got 4 stitches because I fell on my chin. And he said that, oh, with skateboard, it's not a matter of whether, it's a matter of when. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. So I asked him, what's the worst that you have gone through? And he said that one time I was bombing a hill, I got skinned off from head to toe, one side. It was that bad. And did he quit? No, he did not either. But I'm pretty sure that he took the safety more seriously. So I should talk about this, especially after that heroic shot and that vlog. You should know about these things. It's a dangerous thing to do, and not everyone should be doing it. And if you're doing it, you should be always, whatever you think, how much importance you should give towards safety, a little bit more safe than that, always. I mean, a lot of people suggest that you should, at least in the beginning, always have a helmet. Well, you should. I think you should. But in the beginning, that's the thing. Like, in the beginning, you won't get that bad of an accident unless, like, you went out of control and got in front of a car. Like, anything can happen. That's another thing that I started to think about accidents. Like, there's no physics to it. Ain't nobody is predicting whether you're going to fall on your head or you're going to fall on your leg. Nobody knows. It's such a random thing. And also, like, this can happen anywhere, whether you're riding a bike, whether you're walking on the street, someone can dash into you. So just be more careful. And it's something that I just wanted to share with you guys. I'm taking safety more seriously from now on, and so should you. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. I'm going to end it over here. More stories, more talks, more opinions. You put your suggestions down in the comment section. I'm definitely going to be discussing and considering them for discussion in the upcoming podcast. Follow me on Instagram. I'm more active over there these days with the stories and the reels. I'm not lip syncing, trust me. Or if you don't trust me, go and check it out over there. And the website, everything that will be down in the description box. Show your support, show your love, and I'll see all of you in the next one. Till then, bye.